how we can set up the altar, revenge altar, in the family and in the house. Yeah, it's taking about the refuge and how to set up the altar. So generally, the important thing is the refuge is the one important thing because of especially when you start to the practice in the Buddhism, that you have to know that actually the what is the entering gate of the Buddhism, and what is the definition of the being as a Buddhist. Yeah, so that's the one important things, so we have to know. Yeah, so that's why today maybe today so that's why I thought from the for beginner class, so I thought about the talk about the refuge and how to set up the altar. So yeah, so beginning of the generally that as the being as a Buddhist, as a being the Buddhist, or when you start with the practice in the Buddhism, first important thing is that you have to understand the refuge. Refuge is generally it talks about the taking refuge to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. That's how to take the refuge. What does the actually the meaning of the taking the refuge? These are the important to understand and to know. So
Yes, sir.
generally, first thing is that we have to understand the what does the actually the Buddhist practice, or the what does the actually means by the being the Buddhist. Buddhist practice and the being the Buddhist is especially it very emphasis on the way changing of our way of the thinking. That's the one of the main important point. To change our way of the thinking, what the first step we have to do when we have to change our thinking, when we try to change our thought, when we change try to change our way of the thinking, the first step what we have to do. Yeah, so that's why generally, so when you look at the every religion have a many different way of the how they explain about entering into that religion. So the Buddhism is when you are entering into Buddhism, it's just like a gate. So taking the refuge is just like a gate to entering into the Buddhism. One point. Second point is the what is the actually the meaning of the being? What is the definition of the Buddhist? What does actually means of becoming a Buddhist? So that's the definition you have to understand that refuge. So some very simple, the person who take the refuge to the Buddha and Dharma and the Sangha, that person can be considered as a Buddhist, or that person can be considered as a Buddhist, and that person who take the refuge to the Buddha, Dharma and the Sangha, that person can be considered as they started the practice in the Buddhism. So that's why the first thing is, so that's what the refuge. So that's why when you start talking about the refuge, the second thing is that taking of the refuge is also it's showing that the way of the how we have to live, way of the how we have to live. Because when you know about the meaning of the refuge properly, also it will help you to the how you have to live. So that's why. And now the thing is that you normally we always say that the refuge where I follow Buddha, I follow Dharma, I follow the Sangha. For being as a Buddhist, first important thing is the how you have to think and how you have to act, how you have to do. That's the first thing is you have to change. Every of the when you started the entering into the Buddhism path, but this is very important point is that how you have to think, number one. Then how you have to act, number two. What you have to do, number three. These things are very important. Generally, into our day-to-day life, there's no any rules for the how we have to think, how we have to act, and how we have to do. So that's why sometimes we think very negative things. So we act very wrongly. So we do the so many negative things. So that's why it messed our personal life. So that's why the first thing, when you say that I was taking the refuge to the Buddha, the first thing is we thought about I'll take the refuge to the Buddha, I'll take refuge to the Dharma, I'll take refuge to the Sangha. That will come. So here that you have to know that there are two things. How we have to take the refuge to the Buddha. How we have to take the refuge to Dharma, how we take the refuge to the Sangha. This one point. And the second point is that you have to know that what is Buddha, what is Dharma, what is Sangha. To whom you are taking the refuge, first you have to understand that the what is exactly what does the Buddha means. So then only you can take the refuge to the Buddha. What does the Dharma means? Then only you can take the refuge to Dharma. What does the Sangha means? Then only you can take the refuge to the Sangha. So the two things are important. So understanding the what is Buddha, what is Dharma, and what is Sangha, and also understand that what does the actual mean, how we have to take the following the Buddha when we take the how we have to take the refuge to the Buddha. So that's why here we have to understand what is the Buddha. So generally, the Buddha is the means the awakened one, also only the awakened. So awakened means the maybe we might feel that we are also awakened. the literally Buddha means the awaken. But the one point, if you look at this meaning, this is a very deep meaning. When we talks about the Buddha, when he was awakened, that means that he will already awake from the ignorance sleep, not the normal sleep. So already awaken from the ignorance sleep of ignorance. So here is something like that. You have to know that generally when we talk about the Buddha, so actually one other meaning is that the Buddha means the person who have the eliminated all of the negative emotions like attachment, fear, hatred, all of these negative emotions. Person who have succeeded to eliminate all these negative emotions, that person is fully awake. Fully awake means that when we are having all these negative emotions, we are not fully awake. So we are like a half sleep. So that's why with these all the negative emotion, whatever we try to think, whatever we try to do, sometimes we make a lot of the mistakes. So Buddha is a person who have eliminated all of the negative emotion like the attachment, hatred, ignorance. So that person can never make any mistakes in his life. So that's why the Buddha, actually the word is a very, so that's why, that's why the Buddha means that some persons who have the already eliminate the negative emotion. When you say that I'm taking a refuge of the Buddha, that means that actually that you are saying that now you will follow like that person who have eliminated all the negative emotions, the persons who have gained all of the knowledge. Follow the Buddha means that I will follow like that such a person. So when you say it, when you're taking the refuge to the Buddha, that exactly means that are following the Buddha. Yeah, following the Buddha. So Buddha means actually that what Buddha means that, and the taking the refuge to the Buddha means that. Now though, when you take the refuge to the Buddha means that generally, whenever the negative emotions and the negative thoughts comes in our mind, whenever the fear comes in our mind, whenever the anger comes in our mind, usually what we used to do. Never, what will happen once the fear comes, normally what the people will do is that they will suffer with that fear. Whenever the anger comes into our mind, we will act or react very harshly towards others. We always used to do that. That is some kind of normal habit of the most of the people. That is some kind of the reaction of the normal people whenever they generated like these negative emotions. So whenever this arises, so that's time maybe you have to follow the refuge, saying that, oh, I follow the Buddha. Then suddenly you have to remember and you have to pray that and you have to think that may Buddha bless you to overcome these all negative emotions. May Buddha bless you to overcome the like emotion, negative emotion, and become like a Buddha, who succeed to overcome all the negative emotions. I always used to say the one thing in the Vietnam. And you always used to say the Ajidafa. When you have the word this Ajidafa, you will use as a for the thank you also Ajidafa. When you greet someone, Ajidafa. Always used to say that word Ajidafa. So I always used to say the one thing that whenever you get angry, you will never say the Ajidafa. You will forget that time the Ajidafa. Whenever you have some generated a very negative, strong, negative emotion, you will never say the Ajidafa. But only the condition when you say the thank you or the greetings or the sorry, also you always say the Ajidafa. So even in the Chinese, they have the same thing. They will say Omitofo, same day usually like Ajidafa. I still, one time I was walking in the Taiwan, I was taking a walk and the walking and the evening walk. We are walking and suddenly one of the dog just barked from the one house, one of the my Taiwanese student. When the dog barks, suddenly he said the Omitofo. He said the Omitofo to the dog. Yeah, so same thing is like that. So what we, so like that. So generally, whenever we have the negative emotion, like an anchor comes, usually we forget the Ajidafa. So that is the time, the way you have to remember. Then you say the prayer for the taking the refuge. You have to pray for the Buddha that are saying that and now I will take the refuge to the Buddha. May Buddha bless me to overcome all these negative emotions. Just like become like a Buddha. You have to practice that moment. So that's why the one thing, so that is the one thing, one issue. Okay. Mm-hmm. So normally when I do the practice in the sometimes in the monastery, or sometimes I would deal with the students. When the student make the mistake, sometimes when we are talking, sometimes I will harsh word, maybe some comes from my mouth when I have to deal with some of the students. So whenever the harsh words comes, then I will confess from the Buddha. I will see that I always ask the Buddha to do that confession. Because that is not the Buddha's rule. Buddha have never allowed it to the use any harsh word, any circumstances. When dealing with the student, if I have not heard, if I have not used any harsh word, then I never ask any forgiveness.
So is that the Buddha's rule religion, the
No,
rule that the Buddha mentioned?
Buddha's rule never allowed to use the harsh words any circumstances. Okay, any
Yes.
circumstances we cannot use the harsh words.
Yes.
So sometimes when I have to deal with a student, it is some of the, when the student make the mistake, I have to deal with it. Sometimes harsh words comes. So then I
Yes.
always confess from the Buddha, and ask the confession. Because Buddha's, according to the rules, Buddha have never allowed it to use any of the harsh words, any circumstances, you cannot use the word. Yeah. So that the harsh word, actually, that the definition of the harsh words is the Buddha, what is harsh words? When you know that word is going to hurt other, that can be considered as a harsh word. Like even when you
Yeah.
say that someone like a non-Buddhist, very strong non-Buddhist, if you say that non-Buddhist, that person is looks like a Buddha, you are Buddha, that word becomes the harsh word. Because in the reality, the Buddha, the word is not harsh word, but when you're using toward that word, whom you are knowing that is word is going to hurt other, then it will become the harsh word. Quite long back, in the one time occasion, I met a one senior monk. He's really overweight. His belly is so big and his height is quite small and he's overweight. So I just told him that I met him quite a long after. Then I just told him, wow, now you looks like a Dzambala. His belly is quite big and overweight. He really feels so happy with him. Yeah. So that's why the generally the whenever you are having the some of the actions, so that's why when you're taking the refuge to the Buddha, that when you take the refuge to the Buddha, so that means that whenever you take the refuge to the Buddha, what you have to think is that whenever the when you what you have to think is that now you will following the Buddha, you will try to become like a Buddha. So that's why the whenever the negative emotions arise in your mind, you have to pray for the Buddha, thinking the Buddha that may Buddha bless you to overcome these all negative emotions and to become like a Buddha. So this is the one of the main purpose of the purpose or one of the main meanings of the taking the refuge to the Buddha. The second thing is
Yes.
when now the second yeah, so nowadays when you take the refuge to the Buddha, that means the other thing is that you're taking the refuge when you are fully trusting the Buddha. 100% trust is needed to the taking the Buddha. When you trust to the Buddha, that means that you take the refuge to the Buddha. When you trust the Buddha as the 100%, what is that actually means, trusting the 100%? This is one very famous story in Tibetan. This is a famous story. I mean, that's quite popular story. There is a one mother, and she always used to say that the master told master that I trust you, master, 100%. I follow you, 100%. So she always used to say that to the master. So then, so one day is that she invited the master to her home, and she always she, again she repeated saying that I trust you 100%. I follow you 100%. She said that. Then the one small issue came up, and then she had to go out. Before she was going out, she just quietly told her daughter, that little girl, that now just look carefully to the master. Master might steal something from our home. You will have to look very carefully the master whether he will steal something from our house or not. Yeah. So like that, when you're trusting the Buddha 100%, taking the refuge to the Buddha 100%, that means that now you cannot take the refuge to the worldly gods. You cannot take the refuge to the worldly god, but still you can respect the worldly gods. You can do the offering to the worldly gods. That's no problem. But the refuge, when the trust, you would trust the Buddha 100%. You can respect. You can do the offering for the worldly god, but you cannot leave the worldly god's level and the Buddha's level is equally okay. So I'm talking about taking the refuge to the Buddha. So that's why you cannot take the refuge to the worldly gods. That does not. Yeah. So that's why the now the worldly gods and the what the difference between the worldly gods and the Buddha. That's a true difference you have to understand. The worldly gods are the god who have not liberated from themselves from the samsara. They have not liberated from their own the lots of the negative, I mean the emotions or like that. So Buddha is the person who have liberated from the samsara. There's a differences there. So that's why we cannot take the full refuge to the holy God, but we can pay the respect, we can do the offerings for the holy gods. That's also good, taking offering and the respecting the holy God. Okay. Hmm? Yeah. So that about it. Now when you're saying that, when you take the refuge to the Dharma, what does actually the Dharma means? What does actually Dharma means, and the how we have to take the refuge to the Dharma? So Dharma means actually the Buddha's Dharma. When you're taking the refuge to the Buddha's Dharma, actually when you take the Buddha's to the when you take the refuge to Buddha Dharma, then you cannot hurt or harm any of the sentient beings. That is the one rule, or that is the one practice we have to follow. The Buddha Dharma is mainly that it should bring the some of the effects and your way of the thinking. So changes of your way of the thinking. That's what the Dharma means. The thinking change into the better way. So that's the Dharma. So I remember that the one time there is one Indian boy. He just came, the first time when I met him, he just came in. I gave him maybe one session of teaching. Then later I met him after two months later, I met him once again. That time he came to the monastery. So then that night he spent one night in the monastery. Then he came to meet me next day. So then I told him, how's your sleep and that this dog went on. So he told me he could not sleep at all, because there is some mosquitoes in his room, and that really mosquitoes bite him all night, and he could not sleep at all. But the one thing he told me, that the mosquito bite him really a lot, but he didn't kill the one single mosquito. That's really how the Dharma affecting. When I meet that person is not a Buddhist at all. Even I think that he don't know the Buddhist before he met me. Just I gave him the only one session of the Dharma talks. Then he went to try to practice that, whatever he learned from the one session. Sometimes we listen the Dharma all the times, maybe more than the we need, but we will less of the practice. That making the big mistake. Tibetan way of saying that when you listen more Dharma, then you will less practice. Less you hear the Dharma, more you practice. We have the one saying like that. Sometimes it happens like that. Some of my students, maybe hardly they'd heard my one or two sessions only. But hardly sessions, and then I met him maybe after quite long back. Sometimes I get so surprised that one or two sessions that then you used to tell me the practice all the day that what I give in the just a one say one or two session that practice. All the time they used to tell me. Yeah. So that's why when you're taking the reference to the Dharmas, that is the Buddha's Dharmas actually means that which the matter will teach us to overcome our own negative minds. So when you're following the Dharma, that means that whatever you know, understand of the Dharma, you're trying to practice that. Practice that means that at least of your ability, you can practice it. When you have a very strong ability, you can practice much better. When you have a less ability, you can practice less. But at least you're trying to practice as much as you can. That is the meaning of the taking the refuge to the Dharma. You know, one time, I think last year when I was in Taiwan, there's one lady. I just met one new lady. She's not a Buddhist. She don't practice in Dharma. Just we are traveling together somewhere. So meet her somewhere. The one mosquito came in and bite her. So just she killed the mosquito just front of me. So then I told her that I cannot talk her that's a sin or the negative karma, that I think it won't go in her mind. She don't have any religion. She don't follow any religion. Yeah. Then what I told her is that whenever mosquito comes to bite you, first you have to give the chance, two times a chance. Just shake the mosquito. Just blow the mosquito away two times. Still it comes at a third time, then you can do whatever you want. Just try to give a chance only two times. Just blow away one time and the second time. Third time bite you, then you can do whatever you want. Yeah, she said that she will try. Last year I met her. Then I asked her how many times you're giving a chance to mosquito. One time or two times, I asked her. Then she told me now, she never kill a mosquito. Yeah, so something like that, when they practice Dharma practice, sometimes that whenever we know that when you say that when you're following the Dharma, when you're taking the refuge to Dharma, that means that at least you're trying to follow that what you understand about the Dharma, number one. Number two is the rule is that whenever you take the following the Buddha's Dharma, whenever you say that you're following Dharma, then you cannot harm the any sentient beings. You have to stop the harming the sentient beings. So generally, when so that's our thing. So when you're taking the refuge with the Dharma, so that means that now you will try you then the to practice the Dharma. For to practice the Dharma, at least you have to understand the what is the Dharma.
Yes.
The very simple way, the Buddhist Dharma is a controlling your mind. That is the Buddhist Dharma. Mind is like a, always. Mind is always give the example as a mind is like a crazy monkey. It will jumps and the, it will lot of the jumps and also there are a lot of the negative thoughts will arise in mind to minimize the, all the negative thoughts. Trying to control your mind. That is a real Buddhist Dharma. So that's why the brain, the Dharma, is to try to cut your self-attachment. Try to reduce your the self-cherishing attitude. That is the best Dharma. That is the best of the Buddhism, yeah, Dharma. Sometimes that really very, very our the very strong that the negative emotion like a self-cherishing attitude is very strong. So that's why sometimes with that negative emotion like a self-cherishing attitude, that will makes the, our life is a more difficult, is a more horrible. Yeah, so that's what we have to do. Yeah, so that's the thing is that self-cherishing attitude to cut the self-cherishing attitude. Yeah. To cut the self-cherishing attitude, what we have to do. So that is the real the practice what we need here to cutting the self-cherishing attitude. Yeah. So that's the one important point. Yeah. Yeah. So now the other thing is now here the one question comes. So now the one question is the concept that now that when we have to cut the our self-cherishing attitude, when we have to cut the our self-cherishing attitude, now the that is the one of the main practice of the Dharma. That is the one main. But when we say that I'm following the Dharma, so that means that the, you will try to control the, your mind. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that what we are. Okay. Okay. Now the later on that. Okay. Now when you follow the Dharma, then we will say the way I follow the Sangha. When you say that I follow the Dharma, I follow the Sangha, what does the Sangha follow? What does that mean? So that also the what does important thing is that I follow the Dharma, I follow the Sangha. What does the actual meaning of the Sangha? The Sangha means generally, the Sangha means the person who really follows the Buddha's Dharma very properly, who practices the Dharma very properly, that means the Sangha. Sangha doesn't mean that the monks and nuns. Even if you become a monk, if you cannot practice the Buddha's Dharma very properly, very strictly, still you are not a Sangha. When you follow the Dharma very properly, so when you follow the Buddha's Dharma very properly, very rightly, then even you are not a monk or nuns, you are still a Sangha. Sangha, that's the means of Sangha. So when you're saying that the, when you follow the Sangha, so when you're following the Sangha, that means that exactly you will just follow with the right people. You will just follow with the right people who are holding the very right view. So that means that now you will try to, you will not hold the wrong view. Yeah, that is the, what does that mean? So when I follow the Dharma, I follow the Sangha. I follow Sangha. The Sangha, so when you're saying that you're following the Sangha, that means that you will follow with the person with the right views. It means that you will follow, that you will associate with the person who are having the very right view of the Dharma. So you will not hold the wrong view. Yeah, that means that I follow Dharma, I follow the Sangha. That means I follow the Sangha. I follow Dharma, I follow Sangha. I follow the Dharma and the Sangha. Sangha means the that. So now you will know that the, now when you're taking the refuge to the three jewels, now that person who takes the refuge to the three jewels, that person will become the Buddhist. Whether you are Buddhist or not Buddhist, how you differentiate the person who takes the refuge to the three jewels, that are Buddhist. Who have not taken the refuge to the three jewels, that are not a Buddhist. Yeah, so that's the thing, that's a, yeah. So now when you're taking the refuge to the three jewels, exactly the what does the, that means, the taking the refuge to the three jewels, exactly what does that means is that now the two meanings are there. When you're taking the refuge to the Buddha, when you're taking the refuge to the Dharma, when you're taking the refuge to the Sangha, so mentally, how we have to do, physically, what you have to do, two things comes. Mentally, whenever when you have to try to control your mind, when you mentally you have to try to overcome the best to overcome to your all the negative emotion, mentally you have to do that. Physically, what you have to do, you cannot harm the any sentient beings. Try to not to harm the any sentient beings, or to try to not to take the refuge to the worldly gods. Try to not to associate with the persons who are having the very, very wrong view against the Dharma. Associate means are not having a very close like a relation, is the close associate. Yeah, so this is taking the refuge. Okay, that's an important point. These are important points of the importance for the refuge. So now the generally now the one other thing is that what we have to know is that generally when we have to live in the this I mean the, when we have in the in this life, when we have to live, sometimes there are a lot of the challenges comes in our life. Not of the challenges. Sometimes life is not always goes the one. There will be a lot of the up and downs will come. Sometimes when we in the life when we have the very low times, when we comes to the low, and the sometimes we will lose a lot of the things, like we will lose the confidence, then we will lose the hope, and a lot of the negative things comes in our life. So sometimes when you lose the hopes and like that, the most important thing is that when we sometimes we happens like that, what we can do? Because the life is a very strange thing. When the life's the most important thing, the life is that we need a hope. When there is a hope, then there will be the life. When you lose the hope, you will lose everything. The problem is that sometimes the people, when we lose the hope, it's very difficult to gain back the hope. There's English, there's one saying that when you lose the money, you have lost nothing. When you lose the health, you have lost something. When you lose the hope, you lost everything. So when you have the hope, then the life will go very easily. When you lose the hope, then life is very difficult. So that's why the, how you can gain the hope. How you can gain the hope. Hope only comes when you have a trust to someone. When you have a someone to trust, then only the hope will come. Hope is the result of the trust. Yeah, when you have the, then we have the hope, then we can do something. So that's why the hope only comes through the trust. Okay, so that's why. Now the trust comes, hopes comes with the trust. Now the three jewels are something like that. When you can trust the three jewels, there's when you can build up the trust, then the hope will come. Because in my life, always I feel that whatever I do, the Buddha will help me. Buddha will support me. Who knows that whether Buddha support or not? Who knows that? That is a totally different question. But still, that makes them, that keeps them my hope alive all the time. So that's why the hopes. So that's why the when the person is the hope, they will. But the hope will be only comes when you have the trust to someone. So that's why the refuge is something like a trusting to the Tujuh, trusting to the Buddha. When you're trusting to the Buddha, when you're the more strong trust to the Buddha, more hope, more strong hope will come. More strong hope will comes, then the lives go more easy. So that's why the hopes. So hopes is a result of the trust. When there's you want someone to trust, then hope will come. That is the one other reason. Now the second reason is that just generally in when we have when we have the leaving, when we have to leave, we need some way of the how we have to leave. That's the one important things. So generally we are leaving, we are the humans and we have to differentiate between the animals. Animals lives by their own way of the biological reaction. They will live by their own the biological reaction. They cannot think of the how they can leave. We are the human and we can think that how we have to live. So that's why when you look at the living, so that's why the most important when we have to live. So that's why the Buddha said the eight noble paths. So eight way of the living. So eight things, eight parts of the living.
And
So
I
Buddha
invited
said the win is
you.
the right view, right speech, right conduct, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, right resolve. So right way of the livelihood, right view only comes when you take the refuge to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Then only the right livelihood, right speech, right view, these all will come. So that is the one of the benefit of the taking the refuge. And this one other thing is that whoever take the refuge to the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, it's told that who will gain the such a merit that the immense of the merit that merit cannot be measured by the even this three weight of the whole the universe. So major this world cannot be measured. This world cannot this world the weight of the this world weight of the this universe cannot measure that the, if the taking the refuge to the Buddha and Dhamma Sangha have the weight. They cannot measure that weight of the taking the refuge to the three jewels. So that's why the taking the refuge not is that the immense of the benefit we can achieve, immense of the merits we can achieve taking the refuge to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. That is the. Now the thing is that how you can set up the altar in your home. So Vietnam, I think you have to set up the altar, and so lots of the question come setting up the altar. So generally, when you set up the altar, that the usually in the tradition. Traditionally, you have the family altars and the three jewels altar should be different. You put the three jewel offering main and the front of the, your home. Then you can side of the, that altar, you can set up the, your family or ancestor altar. Sometimes people mix it up to the together. It would be much better if you don't mix it up. You just set up the 3 jewels altar, then set up the family altar separately, one small one. So in the case if you have the place is small, then you have to set up on the one table. Then you just don't keep it your ancestors altar and the 3 jewels altar in the same label. You should put the 3 jewels always the higher label. Then you can put the your family ancestors altar in the lower label. You cannot put it on the same label. If you have that, if your space is small and if you want to set up in the one altar. So in case you have, yeah, you want to set up the one in the one table. In case you have to set up on the one altar, most important thing is that you should not set it on the one label. At least you should keep the higher label, that the 3 jewels should be on the higher label, and the family's ancestors, the altar should be a little bit lower label. You should not set it on the same label. That is the one thing. Okay. Then I'll leave for the question answer sessions. If you have any questions, okay? A few minutes I'll leave for the question answer sessions. You can type on the questions if you have any questions.
So then, the Great Compassion Mantra of Avalokiteshvara, is it have the power of eliminate the negative karma? And if there is any chance, I wish that Rinpoche could give me the oral transmission of this mantra.
Okay, fine. Yeah, usually this Avalokiteshvara mantra have a very strong power of the powerful blessings to eliminate all the negative karmas. Because the Avalokiteshvara himself blessed that the name of the Avalokiteshvara and said that whoever hears my name, whoever can chant my name, may they overcome all the suffering. So that's why he blessed his own name. Okay, so oral transmission, maybe sometime later I will get the oral transmission. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if I practiced Feng Shui or I go to the fortune tellers to ask for something, is it wrong or is there any contradiction with Buddhism?
Okay, can you read that in the...
Yes.
No problem. If you go to the fortune teller, that's very fine. It's not a contradiction with any Buddhism, okay? Yeah, that's a fortune teller and you can go and ask and that's no problem. 1,000 years back, this is one very famous Greek fortune teller. Then one night, that old lady was going out to see the stars and how the star movements, and that she was going in the night. Then accidentally, she just fall in the well. She was walking and fall in the well. Then she screamed and asked for the help. Quite long later, then the one gentleman came and took her out from the well. That she was so happy with the act of that gentleman. Then that old lady told the person that now you are not knowing who am I. I am the very famous fortune teller. Even the king used to come to consult with your future. So they told her, with you just today, you saved me my life. Tomorrow I will just check for you. Even the usual king have to wait for me to predict the future. So tomorrow you just come the early morning. I will predict your future freely because of your saving my life. So that man laughed and said the one thing. What will you predict my future? Even you cannot see the 3 steps ahead of what you are walking. Even when you cannot see that, what will you see my future? Even the great Buddha student like a Shariputra have a very special clairvoyance. Clairvoyance, sometimes even his prediction schools fail because he's not a Buddha. Only the Buddha's prediction won't fail.
So my mother usually chant the Buddha's names. Now I want to instruct her to visualize more about the ray emitted from the Buddhas, and she will receive the blessing through the rays from the Buddha, together with chanting the Buddha's name. Is that good, Rinpoche?
First you practice, okay. First you practice, then you think of your mother, okay. Best thing is you should ask that I practice like that. Can I suggest to my mother? Then really it's very valuable. When you tell the people so not to drink the alcohol, first you should quit the alcohol. That's the most important thing. I always used to say that I never tell my student not to have the oversleep because I always oversleep. Okay, so before you are suggesting mother, first you practice. Then when you are practicing, then the second step you can do that. Okay, now the second question.
So when I have the Buddha's altar in my home, then should I place the Buddha altar at the center of the house, or at which location in the house should I place the Buddha altar?
Now, in this point, the two things are very important. Most important thing is your mind. Okay, that is the most important thing. They're saying that, I like it very much, for the stupid people, Buddha lives in the temple. For the intelligent people, Buddha lives in the mind. For the stupid people, Buddha lives in the statue. For the intelligent people, Buddha lives in the mind. In your home, you want to set up the Buddha sort of wherever you feel convenience, okay? There you can set it up. Buddha will never reject wherever you offer the any place in your home. I'm 100% sure the Buddha never reject that place. There is a one story, legendary story. Really, when I was kid, that story moved me very much. That's a one story, yeah? That's the story of the Ananda, Buddha's the assistant Ananda. So that Ananda, when he entered Buddha's time, the old monks have to go to the baking the food. He went to bake the food. When he was going to bake the food, one poor old lady who having the laborious disease offered the Ananda one of the soup of the rice. When the soup of the rice, and after offering the bowl on the Ananda bowl, then the, suddenly one fly came in that, one fly came and one dust also went into the soup of the rice. That the old lady who having the laborisy tried to take out the fly and the dust out of the Ananda bowl. She just put her hand. When she was putting her hand, she was having the laborisy disease and her pus and the old blood came into that soup. So then the Ananda still having the pus and the blood, Ananda drank that the soup, drank that soup, so that the old lady feels so happy. So then the later, the, after that, then he was going there, king of the heaven saw the old scene and thought, wow, Ananda didn't get a very well food. Then king of the heaven came from to the earth and he just offered a very heavenly food, very good heavenly food. But the Ananda old lady turned up his bowl and said that now the lunch time is over. Because after the lunch time, actually the Buddha's rule, the monks are not allowed to eat. So that is the how the real Buddha, whenever you offer the something Buddha, Buddha will accept it. Wherever place in your house, definitely Buddha will accept it, Buddha won't reject it. So wherever you feel confidence, you can set up the Buddha's altar, okay? But you might think that when Ananda taking this rice soup and the, with the blood of the laborisy, whether Ananda will the effect with the disease, never. Main reason is, if you look from the very medical point of view, even when you consume the blood of the person who are having the HIV or the person who having hepatitis, but the medically they've proven that the, when you suck the blood inside, the body acid is so strong, it will kill it. It will kill all the virus. When the only the blood is go into the our blood, it may affect. When I know that quite long back, I know that when the medically professionals, they told me that the, like a virus, like HIV virus or the hepatitis virus and the blood goes in the mouth, still the virus cannot survive because the acid of the kills all these virus. So when I heard that story, then I remember the Ananda, really, he knows very well. He's so smart. You know that even though he drinks the blood of the dead, the liver is his blood, he knows that he's not going to. Okay, anyway, now the another question. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I commit a sin that belongs to the 14 Tao forms of the Vajrayana vows, but I didn't receive the 7 initiations. So what can I do?
Okay, that's me. Okay. Okay, so then maybe best thing is you have to. On this, okay, maybe what you have to do, so you have to take again the Vajrayana vow again. That's the only one solution I can feel. And also maybe you have to do the self-initiation, take the self-initiation two ways there. Okay, now the last question, okay?
So my mother chanted together the Great Compassion Mantra of Avalokiteshvara by the, normally we chant with the Chinese sound. And also, she chant together with the mantra, with the Sanskrit sound, or is that fine, Rupji?
Yeah, fine. Doesn't make any difference. Because the when you recite the mantra, mainly the mantra should be, mainly the best, better is if you try to read that in the Sanskrit. The original, all the mantra comes in the Sanskrit. But we cannot pronounce this very, very rightly, but that's a very fine. Because these are the mantra means originally, that's the one you have. Sanskrit is the originally the Buddha's language. The Buddha was giving the teaching in the Sanskrit. So when he was blasted, the mantra, Buddha's blasted this mantra in the Sanskrit, what he blasted. So because Buddha was giving the teaching that time in India, so the Sanskrit become like official language. So that's why he gives the teaching in the Sanskrit. He speaks in the Sanskrit. I'm sure if that time the Buddha was born in the West, definitely he will speak the Latin. Definitely he will speak the Latin, and then we have to read all the mantra in the Latin. So that's why in the Tibetan, the Sanskrit, the mantra in the Sanskrit, we never translate in the language of the Tibetan. Never, we never translate that. Because the original, the Sanskrit language, when the Buddha was blessed with that language, so that is considered that his blessing with that mantra. So we'll read that in the Sanskrit. If you look at a Muslim from the West Muslim, East Muslim, North Muslim, South Muslim, all the four Muslim in the different country, in the different part of the world, comes and say the prayer, they will say all the prayer in the original, the Arabic language, not their native language. Because they believe that the Arabic language is what the Muhammad was speaking, the language. Okay, thank you very much, okay? Today we'll stop here, okay? Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Then see you.